Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the baseball podcast, and it's a special baseball season preview edition of the podcast. I don't know how special. Don't get your hopes up. But joining me is Dave Brown, national baseball writer from Bally Sports. Did you get that right? Or should I be calling you David? I just assumed. I just called you Dave. I went cash.
It's not a bad question. It's not a bad question. When we're just talking and, you know, you want to call me whatever,
call you.
I think I would prefer Dave.
Okay, but when I introduce you,
when
I should be introducing you as David, as your actual the name your parents gave you.
When they get it right, the byline is David Brown. I want a little formality. I know this is very inside baseball writing, but I want a little formality. Dave Brown, it's funny. You can call me Dave Brown, but to me, like, Dave Brown, it sort of goes by too fast. There's two syllables and you're done.
It's true.
David Brown, you know, when you read, oh, David Brown wrote this, you know, it's like Dave Brown wrote this. It's sort of like somebody from the pool hall or whatever. It's like, who cares? But David Brown, that sounds like maybe he knows a little bit more what he's talking about.
Gives a little more oomph. Besides, Dave Brown failed a Giants quarterback.
I know.
You don't want to be. You don't want to be mistaken for that.
I have this idea that I haven't executed yet to do a blog about all the Dave Browns, most of them in sports. And there's a couple of other good ones. Remember the Seahawks defensive back Dave Brown, who I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go.
In the Steve Largent era. And then there's there was a Notre Dame hockey goalie. And then me, and then I swear there's a couple more, but I don't. I'm failing right now. I should have done the blog when I had a chance.
Yep. Well, it's so like there. my famous uncle Jim, who owns the Knicks, and we're so proud of him.
So he threw out Charles Oakley for you.
He did, and he goes, "He's James." Actually, my brother's name is Jim, so that cracks me up.
Does he even like basketball? Much less own a team.
He doesn't own a team. He does like basketball.
Okay, good.
He was he's a little older than me. He was my eighth grade basketball coach.
Wow.
And we were bad.
Yeah.
And I just
because
blamed,
of
I
that?
I blamed it on the coaching. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, right.
The coaching was bad. That's what happened. Okay, so where can people can just go. In order to read your stuff, I just Googled David Brown Bally Sports, and I got a whole page that just had all your stuff. Is that the
there
best
was a
way
time last year? Probably not, but I'll tell you what. At this time last year, more or less, you couldn't do that yet because they hadn't figured out how to get it high up on the search engine. So you could like Google it, you could bring it, you could Alta Vista it, and I don't know, you couldn't find it anywhere. But they've since figured it out.
Is it on Dogpile? Can you go to Dogpile and type it in?
I don't remember what that is.
It was a search engine.
Okay. Yeah. I gave you Alta Vista. That's like
you did. That's
the
what made
strangest
me think
one
dog
I can.
Pile. Yeah. So I just piled.
That's a street by Wrigley Field.
I one upped your joke, and it didn't work.
Right. Well, it's my fault for not knowing everything. So
that's true.
You're
only expected to know everything.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go to valleysports.com. You can click on MLB. I don't have a page yet. I hope this changes someday where you can see all my things archived if anybody ever had that interest other than myself. But yeah, go ahead. If you Google David, did you Google David or Dave?
I would think. Well, let me do it. While we, let me
Google
while
I swear, I don't know that it's always the same as far as the bylines, because I don't put that part in myself. I send them like a Word file, and then they do the rest.
Mm.
So I don't ever put David Brown down.
Okay, so you are the... if you Google David Brown Bally Sports, your Twitter feed immediately comes up. Then there's another guy from Bally Sports.
Well.
Do you know G. David Brown? He works for Bally Sports. He's a sports media sales and marketing professional responsible for the Bally Sports Carolinas office. So he comes up before you. He also comes up. Do you ever write for Bass Fan?
Sounds very vaguely dangerous, but no.
Okay, so that's not you then. But here you were a guest on the Jake Assman show.
Yeah, that's
that
his
comes
name,
up.
yes.
And then the next one is an article you wrote 6 days ago, MLB Spring Training Reset, Boston Red Sox.
Right, one of the last ones.
David. Yes. Special to Bally Sports National.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't.
Yes.
Somehow I was sure I got a page that had a bunch, because I read a few. Maybe I don't know how I did that. I'm just exceptional, I guess.
I should be able to tell you how you did it, but I haven't.
All right, go to BallySports.com and hunt around, and you'll find your stuff. So I still have an author page on The Athletic.
Right.
They made it very hard to find. But the thing I still enjoy the most is that I'm still the only person on The Athletic whose headshot is in color. Everybody else's is black and white.
That is odd. That's pretty cool, though.
It's basically like Dorothy woke up, the house crashed, she woke up, and there I was.
And you were there, and you, George Castle, and you.
My feet sticking out from under the house, my striped socks. It was great. So that's how they can find you. You find me at pointlessexercise.com. You can now vouch for the quality of the newsletter because, you know,
I got signed up for it.
You got one.
That's right. I can never say that I didn't get anything.
You also have not yet picked out. You get to pick out a T-shirt. I'm wearing the In Play Runs shirt right now. You might want to get the. I don't know if you've seen the Prospect Pervert shirts that we now sell in the.
Why would I want to wear something that says pervert on it?
Well, just to warn people. It's a thing we're trying to get going. Our friend Andrew Cieslak referred to you know, people get a little too gooey about minor leaguers as prospect perverts. Sam Fells, who occasionally is on this podcast as well, wrote an entire article on Deadspin today about prospect perverts. And I have T-shirts that you can buy that say prospect pervert.
I'm warming to the idea. I don't know. Because I go to, you know, like I coach my son's soccer team,
it's a
baseball
perfect place
team.
To wear.
I don't know that is the place to go.
Actually, but I'll tell you, I can especially make one that has David Brown on the back. That way they see you coming and then they see you going. Who was that? Oh, David Brown. Dave Brown? No,
I don't know
David.
How great. I couldn't possibly be more grateful.
Yeah, congratulations. So we're here to talk about we talk about baseball. We're here. It's very exciting. It's the night before the season starts, provided that it doesn't rain in Chicago. Because if it does, then the season doesn't start tomorrow. Because that's not true. The Cubs will be the first game, right? All the other day games have been already rained out, except for at Wrigley.
All of them? Well, no. Well, does day count at 3 p.m.
Well,
because
no,
the Royals
probably
are
not.
Still.
But
on.
There were two other games starting at roughly the same time, and they're both decided. Screw it. Let's go Friday.
Yeah, so, the Twins and somebody else, right?
The Yankees and somebody. Were they playing the Twins?
Yeah. Maybe.
That's good. I've had the entire schedule memorized except for tomorrow. It's the only one.
Right.
So on my favorite TV network, the Marquee Sports Network, they've been showing their season preview episode over and over and over again. It's just kind of on down here. There's a couple of things I have to point out for people who watched it or are going to watch it, because it'll be on. It's the thing on in between the Prevagen commercials. That's what it's there. It's the Prevagen delivery system of the night. Is this? They're doing a lot of on-field demonstrations, and there's a couple of good ones. Boog Shambi went down on the field with Willie Harris and Nico Horner, and Willie and Nico were showing Boog how to run the bases. And the best part of it was Boog does this long intro about Nico and about Willie. And then he takes a big step back where he thinks he's out of camera range because they're going to talk about it. And he just immediately looks at his watch like, oh, God, how much longer? And it's plain
as
day.
Values.
He's in the shot. It's great. That was a good one. My favorite one, though, was Cole Wright went down on the field with Frank Schwindel. What do you think they want to talk to Frank about? How to
hit home runs?
How to play first base.
Oh.
Because he's so smooth around the bag. So they actually have Cole rolling grounders. Rolling them. He's not hitting them. He's rolling grounders to Frank, and he completely handcuffs Frank with a rolled ground ball. It was the most perfect thing I've ever seen. It's like, this is the worst defensive first baseman maybe in history. And whose genius idea was this?
I love how you talk about these little vignettes as if they're bad, but then you give me gems. Like, I can't wait to see this now. I have to figure out how to watch this.
Oh, the best part of it, though, I think, other than Frank botching a ground ball roll to him at approximately 27 miles an hour, is Cole, who is he's in shape, right? He's in shape, but he's wearing pants that are designed to make it look like he's not for some reason. They don't quite make it all the way to his waist. And then they're kind of gray pants. He's got a red shirt and he's got a white belt on, like Herb Tarlick. He's got the white belt on. And it's just like, there's no floor length mirror in the hotel in Arizona. Coley could look at it and went, oh, I'm much too handsome a man to wear these pants. Like, no, he's got them on. Boog has weird pants where they're very tight just around his calves. They balloon out after you get to the calves. But for some reason, he decided he needs super tight. Like, oh, I got to really show up and working on my calves. Hey, can you take them in right around just above the ankle? That'll look good.
Can you take in the calves?
Yeah.
Did he have I've seen him wear very loud shoes. Did he have colorful shoes on, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know. I see. That's a good question because, yeah, Boog loves, and he'll show them. He'll prop a leg right up on the counter, and they'll show it during the games. I did notice that Willie Harris had the low cut, the old Jordan ones, the old, you know, the blue and white ones. I noticed his shoes. I did not notice Boog's, which means maybe Boog didn't have exceptionally garish shoes on because I would have seen it. I was too busy looking at him, looking at his watch, like, wow, how much longer? So one more thing about the pregame, or about the preseason preview that I have to talk about is, so they come back from the ill-fated demo with Cole and Frank, and somehow through the magic of television, now they're at Chicago. There's Cole again in a suit sitting at the desk, and the two guests that are with him for the show are Rick Sutcliffe and Cliff Floyd. Cliff's now former Cub Cliff Floyd. He was there for a week and a half in 2008, and Chicago's very own.
He is.
He's Thorn there. Wood. Cole says to him, "Well, before this, what do you remember about Cliff Floyd playing first base?
Getting in the way of the throw and breaking his elbow.
Yes, that's all anybody ever remembers about Cliff Floyd playing first base, except apparently Cole Wright, who says to him, you played some first base. You know, it's not that hard. He basically gives the
the wash.
The money ball. It's not that hard. It's incredibly hard. It's not that hard, really. And Cliff just looks at him like, what I wanted Cliff to do was just hold up his arm and like show where the bolts used to be to hold his
bleeding.
Arm back together. He's like, I was going to be rookie of the year until my arm bent the wrong way because I reached into the line for an errant throw. Probably about that, I don't know, that fucking Tim Wallach ruined my career.
Tim Wallach.
I don't know who would have been playing third base when a young Clifford Floyd would have been playing first.
I thought it happened when he was with the Mets. Was he with the Mets too?
It happened when he was an expert.
I thought maybe it happened.
It happened very early.
It did.
Yes. I know because I immediately, here's what I did. I Googled Cliff Floyd first base. First thing that comes up, Cliff breaking his arm.
Apparently,
they don't have the Google machine on the set at Marquee. Cole couldn't have typed that in.
They did, they wouldn't have seen Frank Schwindel playing defense either.
It's like, do you have any producers? Anybody who could have been like, maybe we shouldn't go to Cliff with the...
Or
it's not that really hard.
Do you know anything about the people we're interviewing?
Oh, did you play baseball?
Yeah.
I'm here to do the weather. Oh, good. That's what I thought. They've got him. He's sitting on that end, kind of like the weather guy.
Right. Like Gordy from Mary Tyler Moore.
But anyway, so the Cubs are going to play at least the first game of the season tomorrow. It's Kyle Hendricks against Corbin Burnes. I'm expecting the Cubs to get their first hit sometime on Friday.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a now this was the matchup 2 years ago, and Kyle Hendricks threw a shutout.
Right.
Complete game pandemic shutout. I don't think it's happening again.
Well, you never know what to do with spring training results, but I believe in his last game, he gave up like 14 home runs.
Well,
So,
yeah, he thought just kind of like every time he faced the Braves last year.
yeah.
I do think he gave up, I think he gave up 7 homers to the Braves in 2 starts last year. And it felt like more. Yeah, he was working on a pitch. That was actually in the Athletic. Saad have wrote that.
He's working on
a pitch. He's like, well, maybe scrap it. Because that one, no,
yes!
No good.
That was going to be my joke, but.
Oh, sorry. Stop working on
That's
it.
That's okay. Yeah, maybe don't throw that one.
What do you think? How's it going?
See, he's going to Google himself and see that he should not throw that pitch, and he's not going to do it, unlike some other people with Markey.
Cubs have not made their final cuts.
How many do they have? They got to get down to 28.
I think
how many cuts do they need to make?
I think they have I think they have to cut 2. I think one of them though is Michael Givens. Looks like he's going to have to go on the injured list. So they're only having to cut 1.
That bullpen depth.
Apparently, it's coming down to either. It seems like Alfonso Rivas has made the team, which means one of 2 bullpen guys. I think it's down to like Michael Rooker, not Michael Rooker, which would be a lot more fun.
The actor?
Yes. I believe it's from Days of Thunder.
Chicago Zone.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think it's him. I think it's a different guy, Michael Rooker, and Zach Efros. I believe it's one
Not
of those
Zach
guys.
Not Zac Efron.
They both have options, so nobody cares. It's like just, you know,
right.
I'm sure they care. Nobody else cares.
Right. Their parents.
But then there's also some concern that they may cut Michael Hermosillo.
Yes. Yeah.
People really like Michael Hermosillo, even against all evidence.
Prospect then, perverts.
Yes, prospect perverts especially, even though he's... And for the Cubs, he's a young prospect. He's only like 27.
Right.
Which, yeah, they...
Boy, if only Wisdom and Schwindel were that age.
Okay. Yeah, the earlier today, I referred to it as the Randy Hundley Fantasy Camp corners... of Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom. Oh, you're gonna like this. Patrick Wisdom this year has just decided it's not swinging at the high fastball. Just not gonna swing at it. That adds 60 points to his batting average right there. He's an all-star.
Kyle Hendricks not gonna throw that pitch.
Yep. Frank, not swinging at a high
he's
fastball.
Call him Frank
anymore.
Wisdom, but
you know how long that'll last, Pat? Until the first time you're 0-2 and somebody throws you a high fastball. That'll be the end of you not swinging at the high fastball. Oh, if only it were so.
I wish him luck with that.
I do too. I really like Pee Wiz. Of all of their aged prospects, like Rafael Ortega and Frank Schwindel, he's easily the most talented one.
Right.
But there's a big hole there. And it didn't take teams very long to figure out where to throw it.
Right.
Right into the hole. Right. So. Another good thing I enjoyed from the Cubs in camp was so they signed Jonathan Villar, presumably to be able to play second and a little bit of short and some third, and they've pretty much only been able to play him at third in the spring, and they referred to it very gently as he needs to work himself into shape. In other words. Too fat to play second base or shortstop right now, so we can't use him there. It's like, it's, you know, you gave him a physical, right?
Right.
Presumably there's a scale in the room when you give the physical. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe the Cub guys just check their teeth. Like, all right, looks good to me. All right.
It's a dental physical.
You got a little, I'm a little concerned. There's a little gingivitis. Back there in the most, but otherwise, looks good. All right. Doc, did you notice the limp? No. Wasn't concerned about it either.
Has your right foot always done that? Is it always bent inward that way?
And Anderson Simmons is going to start the season on the injured list. He can't throw. Is that a problem for a shortstop? Can he just run the ball over to first?
If every play was a double play, he could just shuffle it to second.
I can't overhand. Underhand, I'm good. All right, well, that's fine. Only field the ones that you can just throw to second. Or maybe he just throws every ball to second, even if there's nobody
out.
It
seemed like this injury, he came in with this injury. I guess it happened after he got to the Cubs, right? Or did he
it happened
come
right
into
after,
camp
I'm
with
sure
this?
it happened right after his dental.
Right. He heard it flossing because he knew it was a dental physical.
He did. They told him to work on his flossing, and 15 minutes later, they heard, ow! And he hasn't been able to play since. We know it's not from, like when I got vaccinated, my arm hurt.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
We know that's not the issue with Andrelton. He's not risking it. No, I could hurt my arm. Why aren't you playing? I hurt my arm. Well, it seems like now would be a good time to double down.
I saw somebody say, though, that they liked how Nico Horner was playing short. I wasn't sure that I believed it, but I saw it, and I can't, like, give you a source, but I read it.
Yeah, I think Nico's arm might not quite be shortstop worthy. He's an excellent second baseman.
Yeah.
And the Cubs said, oh, he's such a good second baseman. Let's trade for Nick Madrigal. But honestly, given the normal health of those two, they're going to get 81 games out of both of them. They'll probably be the same 81. That's the issue. That'll be the problem. They just both get hurt at the exact same time every time.
Right.
I bitched about it at the time. You know, the Cubs had. It's easy to look back and think, well, you know, Craig Kimbrell really struggled with the White Sox, but he was pitching so well for the Cubs. He was a super valuable trade. Is it Chit? It's not Chip, right? It's
yes.
A trade. Chit.
Yes.
He
it
was
is
a
chit.
Super
yeah.
valuable
yes.
Chit. And they ended up getting a 4'8" second baseman. And then they got Cody Hoyer, which doesn't spell it anywhere close to Jed, so they're not related.
Right.
Who actually was pretty good, but now he's caught Tommy John disease, so he's out for the entire season. I didn't feel like they maximized the return there. Now, part of it apparently, what maybe you were about to say, is part of it was apparently Craig's daughter was sick and was her doctor. She was routinely having to go to a hospital. It was in Chicago, so if they trade him to the White Sox. They don't have nothing has to change. White Sox immediately then said, "Go play for the Dodgers." they got doctors in LA too, Craig.
They do pretty good ones.
The heartless Reinsdorfs just sent him over there. So I don't know how much that had to do with it, but
Andy, I had not heard the story. I did not know that about.
It's because they just made it up. No, that's a real thing. It was nice, you know. I mean, one of the things the Cubs under the Epstein-Hoyer regime. Other than the fact that they were never allowed to pay the players, they were very nice to them. Players, right. Nobody bitches about the way they got treated by the Cubs, except for maybe...
Well, not even what's-his-face? Chris Bryant?
Oh, he wouldn't say shit if he had a mouthful. He's the nicest boy.
Oh, he's nice, but I mean, I always got the feeling that he didn't like how things were going.
The Cubs pretty much lost him when they played the little service time shenanigans. Yeah. And then when they doubled down and fought the grievance so hard, which I don't think you could blame them for that. That was basically every other team is like, no. You can't lose this grievance.
Right.
That's going to screw all of us. And then they immediately gave it away in the next CBA. You know that thing that we made you fight for? Yeah, we're not doing that anymore. What? Wait, what? Oh.
No, but you're right that Theo and Jed anyway. Maybe not some of
the
kids.
Theo did it. I mean,
kids.
The whole Mike Olt is, Mike Olt's a much better defender than Chris Bryant, at least for a week. Go down there to Iowa, field a few bunts, then you'll be ready.
We had Cole do some fielding drills with that.
Cole rolled some balls to Chris, and then they say, he looks good to me. I don't know. Cole likes to give every... He gives nicknames to everybody. Here's the thing he's trying to get going. I heard him drop it twice during the preview show. The double play combination of Nick Madrigal, Nico Horner, he referred to it twice as, see if this makes any sense. Silky Sonic. I don't know what that is.
I'm trying to think of what he is referring.
I don't know. I
Silky Sonic.
Silky Sonic.
Who
Smooth
is
and
who?
fast, I guess. I think he was literally talking about like them turning a double play. Just the action of them
Ah.
of these guys. It's like,
Sonic is in fast, Silky is in smooth.
I guess. Seems like a reach.
Right.
I'm a Cub fan. Cub fans are not, we're not the brightest. And there's no way we're gonna figure that out. So he might as well give that up right now. It's not gonna catch on.
There's lots of opportunities, though, for it to become a t-shirt of some kind with all the
Well, get
t-shirt
in line
businesses
behind the
bringing up.
Prospect Pervert shirts. Those are the ones you're gonna
Sure.
see all over. Now, I couldn't afford to do it for opening day. So, but on
Yeah.
Friday, I did work out a deal with the Cubs, and I bought Prospect Pervert shirts. Everybody in the bleachers is going to get them. The reason I can afford it is I've only sold 8 bleacher tickets for Friday. I don't know if you saw the thing online where you can get pretty much any
Prices.
ticket you want for game two for about $9. Things are going great, Tom. Glad you saved money on the payroll because the fans are impressed.
No, that's not what you want. But then again, that always used to happen, right? In the old days where people would get excited about the opening day and then, three thousand people, Lee Elia and all that.
For at least 2 of the years I was in, 2 of the 8 years I was in college, we went to what was referred to as the old style opener. And what that one was, game two, you get the sellout crowd for game one. Game two, you
Right.
shoot a cannon off in Wrigley, you wouldn't hit anybody. Old style would buy up a bunch of tickets and give them away. And all you had to do was they'd run an ad in the Trib. You just filled out a thing, sent in, and they were given their first, I don't know, 12,000 people that sent things and got 2 free tickets.
That's great viral marketing of the
Yep,
day,
and they
man.
called it
That's
the old
awesome.
style opener. I still refer to it as the old style opener, even though I'm the only
Yes.
one who knows what it is. And everybody looks at me like, just please stop doing it. So yeah, that had been a thing until they actually got good, and
Right.
then couldn't get tickets. I mean, people like wanted to go, and this is especially troubling. This is not game two. This
Right.
is a Friday against the Brewers.
Right.
This is supposed to be a big crowd,
Yes.
and it's probably gonna be. Whether it be some Brewer fans who it's like $9. We can hop in the manure spreader, Grandma. We're driving down to the city, and we're gonna see the Brewers play.
Lakeshore Drive.
So that's not great. But yeah, so anybody, if you go there, you're going to get a Prospect Pervert shirt and sit in the bleachers. It's going to be great. So you were telling me before we went on that you made your season predictions, and
I did.
you did a spreadsheet to make sure that the wins and losses for the entire season balanced.
I did.
It's very
I
impressive.
take care that way. Thank you. Well, actually, I went on to, this is talk about half-assed, but I went on Twitter. I'm like, is there an app or a site that does this where you can predict your, and it probably is. I didn't Google hard enough to find it. So I'm like, I ask people on Twitter, like, hey, is there anything? And they're like, no, but that's a great idea. Is there a website where you can go in and, put all the records in?
Somebody
Because
should make
usually
that.
when people make the, or me anyway, when I make the records and do predictions and I make it to see if it adds up, it doesn't and it's woefully off. So I don't want to get anybody coming after me later saying, oh, this is impossible because there are too many games or that doesn't, not enough wins and losses. So, yes,
So
I did.
who did you pick? I'm sure I don't know. Who did you pick to win the National League Central Division?
You're not really gonna like it. Well, I picked the Cardinals,
God
and
damn it. Oh,
I
sorry, was that
picked
out loud?
it. I'm not actually all that overly impressed with the Cardinals, but I was looking at the teams that I was picking, and I'm like, it's not all gonna end up like last year. There's gonna be some teams. There's gonna be surprises, and I didn't have enough of an imagination, so I thought, what would be kind of a cool story for people who are neutral about the Cardinals or like them anyway, is if Albert Potato Pujols and Adam Wainwright and Yasi Molina all went out in a pennant contender, maybe, you know, a division winner kind of a team. And so I have them winning the NL Central by a game over the Brewers. So with 92-70, the Brewers, I'm worried about Christian Yelich never hitting any balls over the infield again. And they still have some issues there on the offensive side. So great pitchers, Corbin Burns, you mentioned him, but if like everything goes right for the Cardinals, I could see them maybe eking out the division.
Okay, we've hit the Cardinals from the division, so that'll do it for this edition of the. I do think it's. I'm impressed with the Brewers' attempt to win a division without scoring any runs. I think it's noble. Are they just counting on Willie Adames to hit like, you know?
I like
28
that
homers he's in, on my fantasy 48 team. Games again.
What I think Willie was playing in a ballpark, Tampa. Tropicana Field, where no one can see anything, and that's why you get to Milwaukee.
Yeah,
and
you
it's
get to Milwaukee,
still
and
weird.
When you bat, the lights come on the scoreboard to let you know when it's going to be a fastball, which that's got to help.
So maybe they have some inside dope on that, but yeah.
I'm sure it's a coincidence that the Christian Yelich, the power numbers went away just about the time that the secret-coded lights on the scoreboard also disappeared. I'm sure that wasn't really
maybe.
A thing.
I mean, he's got like a back problem, but that's maybe this cover story for this business with the lights.
Well, he broke his kneecap. You know, he was maybe going to win his second consecutive MVP late that season, fouled a ball off his knee, broke it, and he really hadn't been worth a damn ever since.
They gave him that
signed
contract
that huge
extension
contract.
After that.
Yes, they did.
After that.
It's the I think Pat Williams said it, though. I don't think he was still with the Magic at the time, but remember when Grant Hill, you know, all of a sudden all those big guys were free agents and the Bulls were sending Benny the Bull in a band to the airport?
Tracy McGrady. It
really wasn't working. But Grant Hill signed with the Magic, and Pat Williams said, I think the lesson we learned was never sign a guy to a huge contract when he's wearing a cast. Grant had his first of many foot surgeries and literally came in on crutches with a cast to sign his huge contract. And Pat said, yeah, maybe we wouldn't do that. And that's kind of what the Brewers did with Yelich. And they signed him before they had to. He wasn't a free agent. They bought out at least one arbitration year. They were so far down the road with it. They're like, well, no, of course, he'll be fine. What possibly could happen? Well, this
well, he can't hit a fastball anymore, apparently. That's what can happen.
Other than that, he's fine. So that's too bad.
So, and then I don't think the Brewers like have spent a dime since that, and maybe I wouldn't either. But ever since they paid him, they really haven't gone out of their way to pay anybody else very much.
Well, they fixed their offense with Andrew McCutchen as they signed. Here's what they did, though: they're really smart. It's David Stern, smart guy. He signed 2018 Andrew McCutchen. People don't know that. he thought he signed 2020. No, no, no. Went back at least 4 years.
They replaced the lights in the scoreboard with a time machine. Yep. He'll be fine. Adames will be fine. But they have some, I mean, Colton Wong is every other year kind of a guy. And I don't know. Rowdy Tellez. Am I excited about Rowdy Tellez? I'm not that excited about Rowdy Tellez.
Honestly, I think they traded for Rowdy, right? Last year. They traded for him just because they thought the fans would think it's cool to have a guy named Rowdy playing first base. Like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's time to get Rowdy's up. It's time to get Rowdy.
It doesn't matter if he sucks. His name is Rowdy. The fans will love it. Just keep, as long as there's cheese, the fans will be fine. I was a Brewer season ticket holder for 2 years. I don't know if you knew that. The first 2 years of Miller Park.
I didn't.
Bought one of those 20-game packages. A friend of mine and I, we bought it. And because it's from here, it's really easy to zip up to Miller Park.
Yes.
And we just picked the one that had the most Cub games in it. And they make this big deal up there about the special sauce that you put on your brat.
Yes.
All you have, it's like, well, that's ketchup and Worcestershire sauce. How is that special sauce? Which, you know, Bud's been hiding the recipe for 40 years, locked in a briefcase in his office. It's like, no, it's ketchup and Worcestershire sauce. I hate to break it to you, but that's what it is.
Well, they didn't know that you could, that people like you could deconstruct.
Yeah,
you know.
Two ingredients. It's very difficult. did you pick the Cubs to finish third or fourth?
Fourth.
So you picked the Reds.
I picked the Reds. I still think the Reds, I mean, so the Reds have a couple of rookie starters in the rotation, but of course, you know, they still have Luis Castillo and Tyler. Is it Tyler or Trevor?
Tyler.
I always get those names mixed up.
Molly.
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 Molly. Molly. Who they're probably going to trade. So, you know, but I don't have the Reds or the Cubs winning more than 70 something games. So, the Cubs could finish ahead of the Reds. I know they'll finish ahead of the Pirates. Everybody will finish ahead of the Pirates. But yeah, I got the Reds, Cubs, and then the Pirates with 113 losses.
Picking fourth.
Picking fifth. Yeah, picking fourth in the draft because they got
we
a bad
it.
Deal on the.
We did it. We lost the most games. What? Oh, draft what? Oh, I forgot about that. I'm sure we'll win it. It'll be fine. I hate the Cardinals, so I wouldn't pick them anyway. I do think the Brewers will still outlast them. I know there are people, especially Cub fans, who are worried that the Albert Pujols, that the, you know, they'll be rejuvenated just enough to be annoying and make a run of 700 homers before he finally quits. I feel like we already saw the death rattle, and that was his competence for a while against left-handed pitching for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I think that was it. I think that was
well, I don't think
that was the dead cat bounce for Albert.
It would be it would be the personal situation with Albert.
Yes. He's the second St. Louis Cardinal now to have filed for divorce while his wife was undergoing cancer treatments. The other one eventually played for the Cubs.
Yeah.
John Lackey.
That's right. I remember that one too. I feel like this is one of those things where, I mean, he came out and made a statement about it. I wasn't wondering anything about it, but, you know, I don't follow the Pujols family.
What if it was the opposite? What if it was, because she came out of the procedure, got the tumor taken out of her brain, and looked and said, all right, buddy, no, we're done. Maybe it was
right.
her.
He
said, go away.
He says he filed a divorce. I read that somewhere. I thought what you thought just now the first time, but and it does bug me a little bit because this is like one of those things that isn't any of our business. But at the same time, like I said, Albert came out with a statement. So
yeah, well, it's kind of like the Cubs. We
the right to talk about it.
The Cubs went through it with Ben Zobrist and
yeah,
his Christian rock star wife and her little hanky panky with the pastor. And we knew about that because Ben basically, his side issued a statement saying what happened. So, I don't know why this was a thing, but on Twitter yesterday, somebody decided to replay one of my favorite World Series moments of all time. It was after the Giants won the World Series in Kansas City, and Madison Bumgarner is being given the truck that he has won for being the World Series MVP, and the poor stammering guy from Chevy is trying to get through and talking about this truck has the latest technology and stuff, and he can't find the keys for a little bit, finally realizes they're in his pocket. Somebody just decided to play that. It's never not entertaining. But what I reminded me of was then the 2 years later, the only time I've ever seen a World Series MVP genuinely be excited about winning the car was Ben Zobrist. You would have thought he was on The Price is Right and had guessed within $1,000 and won both showcases. He was so excited. It's like, yeah, I know, I'm a baseball legend for life because I got the winning hit in the World Series for the Cubs. But honestly, look, it's a Camaro. This is a much bigger deal. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's like, Ben, calm down.
I don't know if I can follow that up with as good of a story, but moving over to the other AL Central, I'm based out of Kansas City, and today they brought Bobby Witt to the room, and he told a story. He seems like, you know, we don't know these people, but he seems like a good guy. You read about him and people go, this is the best kid ever. And he's a good learner and nice and all that stuff and a great talent. And he was like, I got so excited today because I went to Starbucks and somebody came up to me and wanted to do a selfie. And it was great. And he seemed to be genuine about it. And it was funny to see, you know, because, you know, at some point, maybe it will change and they'll be like, more, you know, someone else is coming up to me now. I just want to brew, you know, a coffee or whatever. But he was so excited about it. So he's into, you know, your story about Ben Zobrist and the Camaros. You know, it's cool to have fans sometimes. Yep. It's not all whatever. So that just reminded me of that. So,
who do you have winning the AL Central? I would assume
the White Sox.
Oh yeah.
I got them winning with about the same amount of wins as last year. I've got the Twins coming back and being somewhat competitive, but not winning the division. The Tigers being a little better than last year and finishing over 500.
Which one the Royals of those teams finishes do you think a little has, under? Which one of those teams do you think has the best Torkelson?
He gave another. That was another earnest interview, and yeah. I don't mean like the Hey Vern kind of earnest, but like he was like they did the thing where they, you know, are we sending you to the minors or whatever? And they videotaped it. And he came off as very grateful for the opportunity, which it was just, you know, it's before these guys turn cynical and all that, it's nice to see them be excited about, you know, being baseball players. And it's, you know, it's,
was that the one where he talked about how he AJ Hinch called him into the office.
Yeah.
And Miguel Tejada was there.
Cabrera.
I'm sorry, Miguel. Just like I called Wilmer Flores Wilton Ramos last week because I'm usually drunk when we're doing this. Yes, future Hall of Famer Miguel Cabrera was in the room with AJ Hinch, and AJ's explained to Spencer, well, we think you've got some things to work on in defense, but we think you're pretty blah, 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 blah. And the whole thing was, and then he. They said, well, you're get ready. You're going to be the everyday first baseman. So he gets all excited. And he's like, well, the coolest thing was that there's Miggy, and he was perfectly fine with me playing first base. And I just thought, oh, I think he's more than fine with you playing first base. would Miggy rather do? Sit on his ass and get four or five at-bats or have to go stand out there and play first? I think he's fine, Spencer.
Yes.
Yes, he's more than happy to let you, you take the reins there.
I think in a roundabout way where, you know, the torch has been passed from a Ben Zobrist to a Torkelson and a Bobby Witt. And it's the games and still has some, you know, OG gosh kind of dudes. And that's good for because everything's so cynical and maybe it should be, but it's good that not everybody's like that.
I just like to see that there are teams that have guys like that and they're not, 30 years old. You know, I mean, I don't want to speak ill of Frank or Pat or Rafi or any of the, but it's like, you know, we're being sold this, that the Cubs are busy trying to build the next great Cub team. And it's like, well, you're off to a fine start.
Yeah. You know, if you ask Wisdom or Schwindel about their first major league experience, it's like, yeah, being told about being called up. Yeah. I was in Walgreens getting some Geritol and. And some Depends, and hey.
I was a little out of it because I just gotten my colonoscopy. But I guess great news.
So I figure the White Sox will win the division, and despite their injuries and whatnot. But
So what did you think of the Craig Kimbrel for AJ Pollock trade?
I thought it was, I was kind of surprised that the White Sox got as good of a player as they did, given the hand that they played themselves into with picking up. I mean, they had to pick up his option, I guess, to trade him. Otherwise, he would have been a free agent. But it also sort of signaled like, they kind of at the same time, like, well, we have to trade this guy, and I couldn't have done much for leverage. But Pollock is a really good hitter, kind of underrated. He can hit right-handed, left-handed pitching just as well. His contract, I think he's got there's a mutual option for next year, something like that. But those are usually both declined. He can go if he wants, and if he stays, it isn't that much money. So, you know, from those baseball, you know, analytics standpoint, it's good. And he's not an ideal right fielder. He hasn't played much right field in his career, but I think he can go get the ball. You know, throwing guys out the plate, he's got his arm's a little below average, you know, and it's for an outfielder, much less a right fielder. So that part isn't great, but I think his range is okay. It's better range than Andrew Vaughn flopping around out there or Gavin Sheets or whatever. And
you could have played Vaughn and Sheets in right, and they would have covered less ground. Oh, they would have run into each other a lot.
That
would have been the issue.
That'd be a great idea if they could get away with it. And I, you know, some people are like, oh, maybe they should have played Adam Engel. Adam Engel's good defense and has turned himself into a competent hitter in his late 20s. He'd make a good Cubs prospect at that rate.
Oh, yeah.
Get him on the waiver wire. Injury prone too. So,
well, that would see. That's my thing with AJ. Is he's a really nice player in the 80 games that he'll be available. Just hopefully it's the right ones. And the White Sox have a bad history of their outfielders just running into things in the outfield. Eloy is still trying to get himself out of the net in left.
Yes.
And poor AJ, he'd probably get caught in the net in right. It'll be.
Well, and Luis Robert is competent and or better, and he's, you know, he'll blow his hip out or something. So, yeah, I mean, between like the games that Adam Engel will miss and AJ Pollock will miss, maybe they can cobble enough together to have a decent right fielder out of there.
I understand why they didn't do this. They need a right fielder.
You're going to try and sell Jason Hayward.
There's one.
I know what you're going to do.
8.1 miles away. I mean, come on. It's a perfect fit. I'm sure the Cubs could convince Jason to waive his 10-5 rights to go to the White Sox.
It's only 8 miles, over that. Right?
You could probably get Eloy and Dylan Cease back.
You could, well, send Kimbrel back. That's what it would have been. So
yeah, that would have been fine.
How many more years to go on that contract?
Two.
For,
we can see the end of the light. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's been a train for a very long time. Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't make any sense that he's still a Cub. And then the whole idea, well, it'd be paying him too much to let him go. You're paying him regardless.
Yeah,
he's no good. And the thing the thing he could do. When he couldn't hit, he can't really do anymore. And especially now they're moving him to center where he's worse.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal. But he's I think David Ross would throw himself in front of a bus to try to keep Jason Hayward on his roster. I mean, they've been pals forever, and then of course the story about how Hayward gets a suite on the road in his contract in his whole first year, he let Grandpa Rossi have the suite, and say, ugh. And we already know from, you know, so Ross was brought in, supposedly, had to get away from Joe Maddon as fast as possible, you know, accidentally won a World Series, and because the locker room was just too laid back, and the Cubs really once Ross left, they didn't really have anybody in that locker room who was willing to get in other guys' faces and hold them accountable for stuff. Mm-hmm. There's always this impression, right, that Anthony Rizzo was the captain. He was the leader. But personality-wise, he's not a guy who's going to get on anybody. So they need to get a guy like Ross, bring him back in, so that he could, you know, do the yelling and stuff. And he comes back, and he benched Schwarber for floundering after a ball his first year. And then in the second year, he took Javi out of a game. And after he did that, Wilson basically called the whole team out. Said, nobody here's playing hard. Everybody's distracted. Everybody's worried about something else. We got to get our stuff together. And Ross responded by publicly saying Wilson shouldn't say stuff like that. And Wilson has, since that moment, is basically like, well, fuck this then. What the hell?
Yeah.
You know, you don't do it. You're supposed to be the one who does it. So I do it, and then I get yelled at. Because I yelled at your pals, Chris and KB, or they're both the same guy, Chris and Rizzo.
Yeah, Rizzo.
So I do think there's kind of a sense of, you know, well, he's, the narrative is somehow they already got the narrative. Well, they need him to play center so he can help Seiya kind of adjust. No, Seiya doesn't need an old slow guy playing next to him in the outfield. He's, Seiya knows what he's doing. He's fine.
It wasn't billiards over there in Japan. That's right. It was baseball.
This game was somewhat similar. The next thing will be, well, when we bring Brennan Davis up, Jason's going to need to be his mentor. To that, I would say, old leaders who can't play, there is a term for them. It's coach.
It starts with a C. Yes.
You don't need a $24 million outfielder to teach that guy that stuff, at least not one who can't play. He might as well go make his money doing something else. But they do not seem, you know, they're, and I, there are Cub fans right now who are all, oh my God, what if they, you know, the roster spot that he's taken up, what if they lose Rafael Ortega or Michael Hermosillo because of that? And it's like, well, I got news for you. Neither one of them are really in the plans for the future either. It's not about that you might lose a fringe big leaguer. It's just, what's the point? Why are we still giving a bass to this guy? I just don't get it. So, but I bet you.
Well, you mentioned, no, I hadn't noticed that. Hmm. Well, the Angels cut Justin Upton with 1 year to go.
Yeah.
$28 million.
I'm sure Tom Ricketts noticed that too. I was like, oh, you can do that? That seems like a bad idea. It seems like bad business.
So maybe next spring.
Yeah.
You get your wish.
I would guess. I would think they're probably willing to eat a year of it.
But they're, like you said, they're already eating all of it.
Yeah. These guys are supposedly, this is instructive of the fact that the Ricketts, their dad is the business person.
Yeah.
He's the one who built the business. He's the one who made all the money. They're just the, you know, the fail sons and daughter. Who they've never really been responsible for any of this kind of stuff. Maybe they're literally not. I know they most of them went to University of Chicago. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they never talked about sunk costs at University of Chicago Business School. I don't know. But they do not appear to be familiar with it. So, okay, so we got back on that, but we'd already talked about the National League Central. What about the National League West?
Out West, they got the Dodgers winning 100 games. I have them as the only 100-game winner. And
how many games again, how many games do you have the Giants winning?
87.
All right.
And I also have, speaking of like things that are unlikely, I have the Padres winning 87 games too. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I figure maybe with the new manager and some better luck, they're still a pretty decent team. They'll get Tatis back sometime in June. I figure the Giants will. I mean, that's actually 20 games of regression now that I'm doing the math.
The over-under, but the over-under on the Giants, for people who pay attention to such things, is 85.5.
Wow.
Which I'm absolutely going to bet. I'm betting that over.
Yeah, I would too. I think now I'm kind of low there with 87 wins, but
I'm a little bit biased.
That'll get you done.
In that when the Cubs season went to shit last year, I decided I needed to find a team that I was going to root for. And it became very difficult because I don't care for the American League. And then most teams in the National League I hate. So, but I did find kind of a sweet spot with the Giants for a number of reasons. Number one, I really like their announcers. I like Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. I think they're the best pair. And I'm not going to go get gooey about them now because I talked about them. I remember this crap forever about how amazing it is that Kuiper is a former major leaguer, but sounds like he was born to be a baseball announcer.
He does.
He has like the perfect voice.
He's got the voice.
So I really like them. It's a cool looking park. If you have to watch park games were on late, I could watch. I could try to stomach as much of the Cub game as I could if it were on at night and then just give up and just watch a game from lovely, whatever it is, whatever telephone company it is now. I guess it's Oracle.
Yes.
They have cool uniforms, although I'm not a fan of those stupid fog ones they wear on Tuesdays. They made a history of knocking the Cardinals out of the playoffs, which I'm very much appreciative of that. And then they went out and they got Chris Bryant, so that was kind of fun. So I watched a lot of Giants games and still plan to do that. So I'm a little biased, but to me, the 85 just feels like way too much of a drop off.
Yeah.
So it seems like easy though, money, which means they'll win 80 games.
Right. Yeah. My prediction seems low, but you know, with the betting guys usually kind of know what they're talking about, but yeah, I think they're probably going to win about 90 games. So
why don't I have to tell you, Mr. Bally Sports sure. expert. But the thing about those numbers is those are not a prediction about how many games someone is going to
right.
win. That is they're trying to find the sweet spot number.
To get people to bet on both sides.
That's right.
Right. But it seems low, though. I mean,
they must feel like there is an appetite for people to bet under the Giants, and so they wanted to drop that number enough so that it wasn't an easy win for people. People had to think, and they'll get money on both sides.
Assuming that Carlos Rodon's shoulder is okay, he should be good. He should be as good as Gosman was last year. Logan Webb's a really good pitcher. Yep. The other guys, you know, Alex Wood's got a funny delivery, and Alex Cobb, for some reason, is throwing 98 miles an hour. Nobody knows why. And I forget the other guy. But they're like slightly above middle of the road.
And Anthony DeSclafani.
Anthony DeSclafani, hey. Over by Melrose. And they have a lot of relief pitchers.
They do.
Like good, you know, good back of the bullpen guys, but also really decent middle guys. Farhan, their GM, is one of the smarter guys. So,
right. I mean, the case you would make against them is Buster's gone.
Yes.
And they didn't really replace him. They replaced him with Joey Bart, who could be good, but still, he's not going to be Buster.
I have a son named Joey Bort. That's a Simpsons reference.
Yes, it is.
The thing with Posey is why I think I wrote about the Giants in the preview and put a little bit more than just the record in there, saying he's kind of the soul of the, you know, and Crawford and Brandon Belt.
And the captain, or, you know, Brandon Belt.
Yes.
With the electric.
And him not being there is going to be a big, not having Posey around, even if Bart is okay, I think is going to be a big deal. And I think that's where a lot of this is my rationalization for picking them to win 87 games. So he's not going to be there. He's a great player. He's one of the best players of his generation. So, and that's just nothing to sneeze at. The Giants are good at filling in and bringing in guys that you wouldn't expect, you know, but Posey's a great talent, and that's gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a big thing that they haven't replaced.
Right. Well, there's a concern. They beat up on lefties last year, especially once they got – it didn't hurt getting Chris Bryant. But they don't have Bryant. They don't have Posey. And they instead of getting a right-handed hitting outfielder, they got Jock. And Jock, as Cub fans will tell you, is not going to help you at all when a left-handed pitcher pitches against you.
Right.
Also, Jock is really not going to hit a hit until October. They call it Jocktober for a reason. That's when he saves up all his hits. So
right. Sort of a jerk timber. And I can't think of any more puns. But
so now Jock is a Bay Area native who was you probably know this because you know all this stuff. He was a football star.
I've seen some video.
Yes, he was a wide receiver. And the other wide receiver on his team, who he caught more touchdown passes than, was former Packer and current Raider Davante Adams.
That's insane.
He was a better high school football wide receiver than All-Pro Davante Adams.
All-Pro, like the, and probably the best receiver in the league.
Yes.
So,
and it's not that Davante wasn't good in high school; he was good.
Right.
Jock was just really good.
Those kind of stories, I get into those kind of stories. That's sort of an extreme example, but thinking back to when everybody played high school and who else was on the team, and we had Wilt Chamberlain playing second base and stuff like that. I don't think he played baseball. I was just making that up. But when stuff like that happens, that's amazing to me what that must have been like to see. And like, it makes me think Jock's had a very good career, but why isn't he a little better? You know, why isn't he, why did Davante Adams turn into the best receiver in football and Jock turned into, you know, one of the 75 best outfielders or something like that.
Well, you know, Jock had a really good World Series, not just for the Braves last year, but for the Dodgers 2 years ago, but he almost wasn't on the team. He got traded to the Angels. Remember that
right.
trade?
And
got,
then,
the trade yes. got canceled because somebody, I forget who, somebody flunked a physical. The only reason Jock was still on the team.
That's right.
So, there you go.
That's a good anecdote, too. I like those.
So while we're out west, what do you think about the American League West?
I think it's okay. No, it's I think going back to Posey leaving the Giants, I think not having Correa had a great year last year. He was healthy. You know, his back wasn't bothering him. He was probably the best defensive player in the league or maybe in the infield last
him
year.
Him and Frank Schwindel were 1-2.
Of course.
But Schwindel, I don't think, had enough innings to qualify. I think that's why. I think Carlos won it on a technicality.
You know, that's, the Platinum Glove or whatever. That's how I remember it, too.
Well, here's the thing about Frank. He won the Platinum Glove, and he's actually using it. That's a problem.
Clank.
Yep.
So I think not – I still have the Astros winning, but it wouldn't surprise me, I guess, if the Mariners – nobody's picking the Mariners to win, but they're picking them to go to the playoffs, and I am, too. I have them second. But because the Astros, sort of like the Giants, but in a different way, have stupid depth. You know, they have a lot of good, decent players. They're bringing up Jeremy Pena, who's a decent prospect to play shortstop. And if he does well, then they'll get something out of that. You figure Alex Bregman will, if he's got his wrist healthy now, he'll be better than before. Yordan Alvarez, MVP candidate. And they have lots of, you know, they have some issues with the Lance McCullers' arm not being right, but they still have depth of really good, you know, I don't know about like playoff pitchers, but they got guys that'll get you through 162 games. So I figure they'll win 95.
So here's mine. I think I wrote this
second,
or maybe I just opined to myself and then I think I wrote it. Here's the thing I'd worry about if I were the Astros and, it's, you just said his name and I can't think of it. Jeremy Pena, is that his name?
Jeremy, yes. Yeah. Jeremy Pena.
They also have Aledmys Diaz on their roster. And they have Dusty. And as a fan of the Cubs my whole life who went through 4 years of Dusty, if you can find a half-assed vet that he can play in a spot over a talented youngster, he will do it.
And I so what you're saying is Jeremy Pena is going to get about three pitches.
Well, here's what I think might have to happen. So in 2003, Dusty would not stop playing Lenny Harris at third base. He just kept. Lenny didn't want to do it. Lenny would walk, see the lineup card in the clubhouse, and go, "Oh fuck, I got to play again. I'm just supposed to pinch hit, Dusty. One at bat. That's all I need. One at bat. I don't need all this. I don't need to bend over to try to pick up ground balls."
Google me, Dusty.
Where,
known for that.
You know, the Cubs eventually solved third for a very long time with a trade for Aramis Ramirez later in the season. Jim Hendry released Lenny Harris. It was the only way he could get Dusty to stop playing him. He had to literally take him off the team. Lenny ended up playing for the Marlins against the Cubs in the playoffs. And I was sure he was going to get, like, the hit that won. I'm like, oh, God.
Right.
And he didn't. But it was everybody else did.
That's true. They didn't miss it. But
so they had to literally, I remember at the time, they would have to Dusty-proof the roster. Because he's just, you know, Lenny's a professional hitter. Lenny hasn't successfully fielded a ground ball at third base in 6 years. Just ask him. He'll tell you. So I would worry about that a little bit. And I realize this is Dusty in pure, I just got to win a World Series. I will do whatever anybody tells me. Do you think he's still going to wear the surgical gloves in the dugout? I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I would, yes.
I mean, it's, you know, toothpick, wristbands, and then mask, which is fine, surgical gloves. That seemed a little like Dusty. I think we pretty much debunked relatively early on, you're not going to get COVID from touching things. You don't need the black surgical gloves. Oh, they look cool. Well, they don't, but that's fine. Whatever.
I remember a couple of times taking a spray bottle to my mail. And I didn't need to do that.
I remember washing groceries for a couple of weeks.
Yes, washing a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm. Wiping them down.
Dusty does not lack for accessories, though. You are correct.
He does not. All right.
And then I got the Angels finishing 500, which is not going to be good for Shohei. He wanted them to add some talent, and they didn't really do that, a whole lot of that. So they're going to be mediocre again, probably.
Excuse me. They signed Ryan Tepera. If that doesn't put you over, if that doesn't put you over, I don't know what does.
Well, their bullpen was horrendous.
Yes, it
so
was. They do have, they seem to have actually given Joe somewhat of a useful bullpen.
Yes.
And they have the wild card of whatever you're going to get out of Noah Syndergaard.
Who yeah.
had his arm put back together, and it means nothing, but was, like, unhittable in spring training. Now, there have been
right.
plenty of guys who were unhittable in spring training who then end April with a 9.8 ERA. And I think the thing you'd worry about with Syndergaard wouldn't be April and May. It would be, is there anything left in August and September, given
right.
he also caught the Tommy John disease.
He did.
But yeah, I mean, it's,
did you know he has a book club? Did you know he has a book club, Noah Syndergaard?
I did not. I know that he's
I'm what, in it.
One of the, you're in his book club? What are you guys reading?
Uh-huh. I forgot. I have to look. I have
you
to look at my
the,
notes.
You haven't done the work.
I haven't done the work. No, I just get into it for the discussion, and it was kind of interesting. And I always kind of look for motivations to read something that isn't like a baseball related. I'm usually reading just about baseball. It's crazy.
So it's funny you bring that up because I'm going to bore people
yeah.
with this. Over the pandemic, I found on Nerdist.com, they had a book club. And so I had never read Dune. And I knew that the I knew the movie was coming out.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, it was probably a pretty good time to read Dune, and I can read along. It's a they had a book club, and you just, you know, they basically they get gave you a number of chapters to read. And then this book club, they were doing it every week, a new YouTube video, but it was long gone. So I could just, at my own pace, I could read this stuff and then watch the next video and then, you know, mm-hmm. read whatever. And for whatever reason, I had never read Dune because I'd always heard how, like, hard it is to read. I didn't find that at all. I mean, yeah, there's crazy, he, like, he makes up, like, a kind of a language that's based on, like, you know, what you speak in the, but in, like, the Middle East of our Earth. But
yeah.
not that much. And there's really just a few terms you need to figure out. And I plowed right through that thing. And I credit mm-hmm. that to the fact that I could then, I could read a few chapters and I could listen to people talk intelligently about it. And I'd be like, oh,
right.
well, I guess I did completely misunderstand that. And then go on and read some more. So the thing I like about Noah is he's a genuinely entertaining Twitter follower for an athlete.
He is.
And those are hard, few and far between.
He's yeah, he's clever and funny, and it doesn't seem like he takes himself too seriously.
He is on Twitter what Marcus Stroman thinks he is. Marcus Stroman
I'm starting
not.
To feel that.
Marcus Stroman is there's disaster is somewhere around the corner because right now he's
good pitcher he better stay good.
But he is super sensitive. And Cub fans are not. I mean, he got into it with Met fans to the point he's still pissed at the Mets. I'm like, buddy, it's the same thing here.
Right.
It's, you know, one outing where you go three innings, give up six runs, and it only takes like mild criticism of him to just have him lose his shit. So,
right.
It's not gonna go well. I don't think. That doesn't
so
mean he won't
up.
Have a successful run with the Cubs, but there's going to be social media angst that doesn't need to happen, but it's going to happen.
He's probably going to quit. Or Twitter, I mean, you know,
or the Cubs. It could happen.
Yes. So the book, if you want to read what Noah Syndergaard is reading these days, "Barbarian Days: A Surfing Life" by William Finnegan.
Hmm.
That's the book for this month, and a lot of times he'll talk to the author and put a little interview together. And it's just kind of a neat thing.
I'm currently reading Comedy, 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 Drama by Bob Odenkirk.
Oh.
It's very funny. As you would
That sounds good. Yes.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's one of the funniest guys around. And he's an excellent writer. So it's a lot of fun. And he hasn't even got to the part where he hasn't even moved in with Conan across from Wrigley, which is going to happen. So, all right. So we did the West. We did the Central. I guess that leaves the East.
Right.
Let's start with the American League East.
In the American League East, I have the Blue Jays winning. I mixed it up a little bit. I think they'll win 99 games. Some of it, that will be due to the Yankees and Red Sox not being able to bring all their players to Toronto because they don't have shots. And the Red Sox win in 91 games, so pretty comfortable win, kind of like the Rays last year. The Rays getting in the playoffs with 89 wins, and the Yankees missing the playoffs by a game with 88. And then the Orioles going 50 and 112 to make it all balance.
Do you have in your predictions at any point the Rays finally trading Kevin Kiermaier to the Cubs? Now, if you know this, did you know that his brother Dan is the head groundskeeper for the Cubs?
That's the same. I didn't know that.
And I've all along figured that the Cubs are going to figure out at some point if they trade for Kevin, they can also get – he not only can play center field, he can mow it. God, this is a win-win.
You've had some really good zingers tonight, Andy. You're really funny right now. Well, the only thing about that is
they're both from Illinois. I think they went to Parkland Community College, which is down there by Banana Shampoo. Banana Champagne.
That's Parkland High School. I was thinking of.
That's Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah. So. Kevin Kiermaier blocked me on Twitter. I don't remember exactly what I said, but we're talking about Stroman. It was a Stroman type thing where I alluded to the fact that maybe Kevin was a better defensive player than he was a hitter.
Yeah.
It did. And now I can't see anything that he writes anymore.
So. That's too bad. I got blocked by John Heyman for, do you remember when he had the hashtag mishap? Where he meant to hashtag huge hits, instead he hashtagged huge tits, and I screen capped it. And occasionally I would he'd be in the middle of breaking some news, and I would just send that to him. And apparently he got tired of it, and he blocked me, which could be a pain because I will see other people like referring to, like making fun of a rumor he has. Yeah. So I have to go to my other Twitter account, log in, find it, and then go back to mine. It's like, oh, this...
Marcus Stroman burner.
Just apologize.
Right. Former colleague of mine, John Heyman.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can I just unblock me? I promise I won't keep retweeting huge tits, but I will. I mean,
do you remember the tweet that he had about going to Fenway Park? And it was, I'm struggling to remember the exact wording of it, but it was something about the racism of Boston. Like black street, black fan street, or didn't pass another black fan, or do you know what I'm talking about? Can you help me out? Because it sounds all right. Well, there was another John Heyman. Hopefully, someone that's listening knows what I mean. But
I also think the Blue Jays are going to be really good, and I do think they have a unique advantage in that there will be really good players who just don't get to go to Rogers Center to play against them. And I don't think they really even need the advantage. I think they would win the American League East without it. So that just,
I do too. Just but I think the margin will be, yeah. Yes. Do you think I interpreted Chris Sale's last comment about this was something like, we'll see. And I interpreted that as, all right, when the time comes, I'll get the shot and I'll go to Toronto. Do you think that we'll see a lot of that?
I mean, I think players will get extra pressure and kind of like, look, the supposed fears you've had about this have been long ago debunked. You know, this isn't like when the vaccine first came, you can't say it's been rushed anymore.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've been vaccinated more than a year and I have yet to grow that, you know, horn out of the middle of my head that they promised me that I was going to.
Right.
You know, Rizzo's supposed reason for it was, well, I'm trying to have a family. It's like, well, okay, well, COVID has been proven to cause infertility. The vaccine has not. So maybe your smartest move would be to actually get vaccinated.
Right.
You might see some of it. I did think it was perfect that Chris Sale is on the disabled list with a broken rib, considering he's basically all ribs.
Yes.
What else could he break? That he may be worried about the shot, suggested shattering his arm. You're going to put that needle there? Mm. I was like, I could take it. Like, sir, we can't find any flesh. It's not going to work for you. We're going to have to give you a doctor's note. Maybe that's what he means about the we'll see.
Right.
So now I you can't give me the shot. I literally can't take an injection. Okay, so lastly, the National League East.
The National League East. No. I have the Braves winning again. I figure they won't have Acuna for – well, I mean, he's going to play soon.
Yeah, maybe he's going to start DH-ing, right?
Yeah, he'll start DH sometime this month as we were last informed. So I think that, you know, DeGrom's injury actually will affect the pennant race because he's going to miss – many starts, you know, 2 months at least worth of starts. And then who knows after that. But I figure that the Mets will be good and that'll be enough to kind of knock them out of maybe winning the NL East. So I got the Braves at 94 wins, the Phillies at 91, you know, all offense and some starting pitching. And the Marlins, I actually like what the Marlins are doing, kind of. I couldn't get the standings to add up, so I have them only winning 75. And then the Nationals is 67.
Yeah.
They signed Nelson Cruz, but I don't know what they gave him 2 years or 1 year and a mutual option, so that's why he went there, but it didn't make sense to me that he's going there, other than to play with Juan Soto, I guess.
Well, yeah, I took it as he's there to get, because that's where he got his paycheck, and then in July or August 2nd,
yeah,
he will get traded to a pennant race, and he will get to play in a pennant race anyway. So,
right.
Unless he's bad. And then if he's bad, he still gets paid. Yeah, I mean, the whole Derek Jeter quitting because they wouldn't sign Nick Castellanos, that can't really have been why he quit, right? I'm sure it was just general frustration.
I would say maybe it is symbolic or emblematic of the kind of spending that they're not going to do. Did it come down to not signing one dude? You know, yeah. Probably not.
Probably just the final straw. That was the, all right, fine. I'm tired of this crap. I'm out of here. Not, you know, I'm drawing a line in the sand at Nick Castellanos.
He should still be a Cub.
He should be. He really wanted to stay. The Cubs could not find anyone to take Kyle Schwarber.
Which sounds weird.
Yep, which is why because they would have traded Schwarber and signed Nick. And then in true Cub style, a year later, they just released Kyle and then had neither. And now they're both Phillies, where they'll both be on a team where their entire defensive plan is just when the ball stops rolling, somebody pick it up.
Get it in. Just get it into the infield.
Just imagine the whole pitching staff, like, oh, all right. We're already playing in a bandbox, and when I do keep the ball in the park, no one can catch it. This is a true recipe for success.
So that will be fun to watch.
It will be. They will just. There will be games where they will simply annihilate people.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they won 18-2. Oof. And then a whole week of. Oh, they lost 6-4 again.
Right. Two errors in the ninth.
Who were your wild card teams?
Oh, it's wild.
Because there's
Mariners, Red Sox, and Rays. Yeah, right. Mariners, Red Sox, and Rays. So one, well, I guess the Rays were a division winner last year. And then Brewers, Phillies, and Mets. I have the Giants and Padres basically just missing, which I don't really have confidence in, but. With at least with the Giants, but yeah, so I've got Brewers, Phillies, and Mets as the wild card with the Mariners, Red Sox, and Rays. And I've gotten my World Series pick. I didn't go through and do all the series, but I've got the Blue Jays winning the World Series against the Cardinals in six games.
No,
I mean, it probably won't happen. I'm just rooting for
you like birds, just rooting for the bird teams.
Those are actually
you couldn't pick the Orioles. So he ended up with the Blue Jays and the Cardinals.
No. Those are two of the birds in our backyard.
Oh, well, maybe
We have a lot of Blue Jays and Cardinals. Yeah.
Did you take some mushrooms and then stare at the backyard and then make your predictions? that probably not.
Maybe
terrible,
it would.
Probably not a terrible way to do it.
Maybe it wouldn't hurt. Yeah,
I wouldn't need the spreadsheet for that. One thing you probably don't know is that I like the Cardinals so much that I have the only playoff games I have seen the Cardinals play since I was a small child were the four against the Cubs. I just don't watch them. It's like, nope, fuck it. I don't care. I'll find out what the score is. Now, I've missed some exciting moments. I missed Travis Yoshikawa kicking them in the balls.
Oh, I remember that one. The home run to right field.
But I see the replays, and I enjoy them all the same.
David Freeze's home run?
No, not so much. Thanks. I didn't have to see it.
Right.
I'm also, it's funny, because I kind of the same with, I mostly am completely ambivalent about the White Sox. I've always have been.
Yeah.
In fact, had I not gone to NIU and been surrounded by South Suburbanites who, you know, and it was the early 90s when the White Sox were good and the Cubs were terrible, I wouldn't care at all. But I also don't watch the White Sox. Like, I literally, I really don't, people go on and on about, oh, the Scott Pitsenik's home run in the playoffs, and like I didn't, and the World Series. I don't know.
It does
I
not
vaguely
register.
Know that like Juan Uribe ended up in the stands catching a pop up, and Scotty Pods hit a walk off right, or he hit a grand slam. I don't even know what happened.
It was a walk. It was just a walk off
because I just didn't watch it. I don't give a shit. So it's my petty way of. You know, I also don't watch Green Bay Packer playoff games.
Was it? Yeah. Was it always like that, or did something happen that made you?
I just would get really annoyed and be like, you know, I don't need to watch.
Yeah.
There's other stuff to do. I watched, for some reason, I watched Dr. Zhivago instead of the Steeler-Packer Super Bowl.
I've never seen it. Is it.
It's a good movie. It's roughly the same length, I figured, as the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So, Super Bowl started. I watched Julie Christie and Omar Sharif. And
is that a book that you've read?
That is not a book that I've read. I don't read a lot of Russian literature. It seems depressing.
They translate it. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I didn't want to learn Russian to read it. Oh, you can read it. You can read it in English? Oh, that does seem like a good idea. Yeah, I am predicting that the Dodgers finally win their first non-neutral site World Series.
Yeah.
In 34 years. And I hope it doesn't happen. Because fuck them. But still, there's worse teams that could win the World Series than the Dodgers, like the Cardinals or the White Sox.
Well, everybody's worse in their, you know, in terms of quality.
My bone to pick with the Dodgers is not with the Dodgers, it's with the Cubs. They're running that organization the way the Cubs could run themselves.
Yeah.
Which is on two tracks. They are paying players. And they are still developing a farm system.
Yeah.
Because they can, because they have a shitload of money. And I realize that the Cubs will tell you that the difference is the Dodgers got that ridiculous TV contract. It's just, it's more money than they know what to do with, even though most of their fans can't watch their
games. Yeah, they can't watch.
They're still getting paid. They don't care. The Cubs botched it to the point where they started their own network at a time when it was a terrible idea to do that, and they can't figure out how to make any money off it, and the network is terrible. But they're drowning in cash, and we all know it. So put it to use. And put it to use is not trade Yu Darvish for four teenagers. It's keep Yu Darvish and pitch him and find other ways to acquire teenagers, because you can, because there is another way to do it. Dodgers do it all the time. So that's my problem with the Dodgers is not with the Dodgers, with the Cubs.
I think that's a complaint that other, like the Yankees, I think Yankees fans would have similar type complaints. Although the Yankees do a pretty good job of developing or had young players. But as far as spending that, you know, they don't go over the salary cap, the luxury tax.
No, when they do, then they immediately, the next year, they want to duck under it. They don't want to repeat.
Right.
I did enjoy Brian Cashman trying to make the case. Well, I know we haven't won a World Series in a long time, but really, we should have been in the World Series, but the Astros cheated.
We should have.
We should get credit for that. I mean, we developed that team. I put it together, and we were good enough to win, but the other team cheated. So really, it all worked out.
Yeah,
that should count. There should be an asterisk on our record that says should have been in the World Series.
I know the Astros, you know, reinvented cheating, but it's not like the Yankees are clean or anything.
No, they had, that was the year after they got busted for the Apple Watch thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Good job. All right, so I guess we can we talk about some awards and then we probably can wrap this up.
Sure. NL
So,
Rookie of the Year.
yes, we know who that is. They might as well
Say
already
Suzuki.
print Seiya Suzuki on the trophy.
They
The
should.
reason I paused before I mentioned it was I was going to say that this, the prospect perverts, put him on the Cubs prospect list. They re-ranked and put him on the list. It's like, I understand that he technically is a rookie because he's never played in Major League Baseball.
Right.
But that's one step. It's another step too far to then treat the Japanese League like it's somehow a low-level minor league.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah, the best player is
It might
in
be
the league
AAA,
is.
but it's not, it's like, no, he's not a prospect. He's a
Right.
grown damn man who's going to be, he is a rookie, but he's not a prospect.
Right. So, do you have a strong opinion about, Ichiro winning Rookie of the Year or?
No, I think by definition of the rule, they should win it. They
Yeah.
should, it's fine. They're rookies. They've never
Yeah.
played in this league before they qualify.
I agree.
I also like the fact that if the last Suzuki that came over could hit 350 as a rookie, I don't see why this one can't. I think it should just be, like, it should be equal. He should hit 350 just like Ichiro did, his Uncle Ichiro. Now there are a lot of good rookies, and the American League, it seems, has an embarrassment of rookies,
An embarrassment of riches,
including the
rookies, yes.
aforementioned Bobby Witt Jr. and Julio Ramirez.
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, what I call him, Ramirez? Yeah.
No, you did. I was just overdoing the
Oh.
accent.
And of course, Spencer Torkelson,
Yes.
Who's good. And so what's the deal with Adley Rutschman? Are the Orioles still hiding him in the minor leagues for no
I
apparent
wouldn't
reason?
put it past the Orioles, but he had an injury. He hurt
Oh, okay.
himself in workouts, and
Much like Riley Green from the Tigers will start the
yeah,
season on the DL because he broke his foot with a foul ball.
right. Don't do that, kids at home.
No.
Yeah, Rutschman will be up at some point soon. So I don't think the Orioles. He's got enough experience in the minors that it's. It doesn't, and he's 24, I want to say. So it's time to go. It's go time. But Witt seems like I love Julio Rodriguez. I just think that Witt's probably Witt, it could be Witt, but I think Rodriguez is, to me, reminds me of some of those prospects of baseball in the early 90s that were so great, like, I don't know, Juan Gonzalez and. Maybe not Ken Griffey, but those guys, legendary kind of stuff. And he's a good defensive player and fast. And I think he'll, in some way or another, put the Mariners in the push him over the top for the playoffs. So it very well could be Witt. I picked Rodriguez just to be a little different.
So whenever we talk Rookie of the Year and Ken Griffey Jr.'s name comes up, it reminds me of my favorite stat, maybe of all
Yeah.
time, which was, of course, Jr. did not win Rookie of the Year. He came up for a little more than half a season and didn't put up enough numbers. He put it was
Right.
good, but he didn't win Rookie of the Year. But did you know that he was younger than the American League Rookie of the Year for each of the next 7 seasons?
That's a great stat.
Yes.
I maybe knew that at one time, but I didn't remember it, and
A guy we
that's
talked
awesome.
about in a previous podcast, is that right? No, who was the old guy? It wasn't Bob Hamlin. Maybe it was Bob Hamlin. Did Bob Hamlin win it after Junior? There was an old guy who, like
It would have
Marty
been 94.
Cordova, and he was the
Yeah,
old Rookie of the
95.
Year.
Yeah.
Took a long time before the reigning American League Rookie of the Year was actually younger than the best player in the American League. So that was crazy.
I asked I don't even remember the answer, but I asked him a silly question about that today, like put yourself you're a junior, put yourself, where do you think your career is going to be among the other great juniors that we've had? Ken Griffey and Cal Ripken, and Royce and he Mullen. Mentioned Oh, the best. Oh, Royce Smollett. I was never madder at a player than when he was traded to the White Sox and was just terrible. It was the year after they won the Division 83, and they really could have used a guy like Royce Smollett, and he was just so bad, and I never forgave him.
Let me guess. He compared himself to Gary Matthews Jr.
It wasn't – no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Good. He didn't. He didn't really – he took the humble answer, and he's like, I just want to be the best me, Junior, I can be.
Oh.
So
that's nice.
It was.
Yeah.
But
Gary Matthews Jr. had one great catch and one great season, and then one great flunked PED test. So
right. That was a great catch. That's as good a catch as there's been ever made, I think.
Amazing.
So I got Julio Rodriguez. And yes. Yes. AL MVP, Vladimir Guerrero.
That's who I picked.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it very easily could be Shohei again, especially if he
I made the case
pitches a little better, but
that by definition, he is the most valuable player.
Yes.
He's a 40 homer, 100 RBI hitter, and he's a top of the rotation pitcher. You cannot find
three ERA guys, yeah.
You literally cannot find a player that is more valuable than he is. Maybe they're going to have to go to the NCAA tournament most outstanding player.
Yes. Too many shining moments.
Otherwise, they're going to have to give it to Shohei every year just for showing up.
Right.
National League most valuable player. The guy with the best odds, I think, has zero chance to win it because his team is so bad. And that would be Juan Soto.
Right.
I mean, that's like Ernie Banks level bad. You've got to have an exceptional season to win on that team.
Okay, so you're not going to like it. Where is it? Where is he? Nolan Arenado.
Yachty. You didn't pick Yachty?
I didn't pick Yachty. No. And the reason I picked Nolan Arenado is because there's this... Because
the Cardinals are actually paying him this year as opposed to last year where they didn't have to pay a cent for him.
Right. He's going to earn it from the new team. Finally, because they're paying him. Look at his numbers on the road last year. They were amazing. It was like home Coors numbers for Arenado. So I think he was adjusting to
being mouth breathed on by all the fans.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time with that too. I can empathize.
Is that what? Anyway.
You know how we know the toothbrush wasn't invented in St. Louis because we know how the toothbrush was invented in St. Louis because otherwise it would be the teeth brush. Sorry, got my own joke wrong.
It you came around though. You got it out. It wasn't a straight line, but you got there anyway. So he's over the Coors. The Coors has an effect on I think on the road for its. As much as the home helps guys hit home runs, the road aspect screws them up in the head, mechanically, whatever. And I think this year, being 1 year away from that, he's going to just have a monster season. Anyway, and then if the Cardinals were to win the division, people like to vote for team players that are winning divisions for the awards. So
I hope he gets hit by a bus.
Fair.
God, who did I pick? I just wrote this.
Well, it's not Juan Soto.
It was
a Philly, Bryce Harper again.
No. That was bad. I suppose a smart guy would look it up real fast.
Let me see if I can guess. Cardinals, no. Someone on the Braves, no. I don't know. Someone on the Dodgers?
I did see that you could get 200-1 odds on Ian Happ. But I didn't take those. Oh, I decided if I was going to throw any money at anybody, I was throwing money at Francisco Lindor at 28-1.
That's great. That is that's good betting. That's what I like thought, that.
'Cause similar to your rationale for Nolan Arenado, which is the second full season in New York. He really did. His offense did seem to perk up when Javi showed up.
Yeah.
He just seemed a little more comfortable And he'll have a full season. But problem is the Mets, because their top of their rotation just fell off, they might
Right.
not be so good. But I did
Right.
like those odds. Who else was it? Let's see. The best odds were Juan Soto, Ronald Acuña Jr. I just can't see a guy coming off major knee surgery, missing a month, and still winning the MVP.
Right.
Mookie, who's always contractually obligated to be on the list because he's really good,
Yes.
and if there was a bowling component to it, he would never lose. And Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I think the Phillies can have three or four guys that hit 40 home runs. If Rhys Hoskins does it too, I think Schwarber could, Harper has, and Castellanos is kind of he's only hit over 30 once, but just when he seems to like where he is, he's done well, and he's a better hitter than he was as a young 20s man. So I think that's one of my predictions, that the Phillies will have a bunch of 40 home run guys.
There you
First
go.
time since the Rockies of the 90s would that happen.
Oh yeah. The Blake Street Bombers.
Blake Street Bombers.
All right, we'll wrap it up with the Cy Young Award in both leagues.
Walker Buehler in the National Buehler in the National League, and I don't Lucas Giolito. I don't know, to get back at the White Sox for bothering him over $50,000 in arbitration. Yeah,
So
but
the,
it, yeah,
oh, go ahead.
no, I wasn't sure how I was going to complete that thought. But Giolito in the AL and Walker Buehler in the NL.
So the favorites in the American League are Gerrit Cole, Shane Bieber, Robbie Ray, and Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
My worthy long shots that I put were Frankie Montas, except how
Yeah.
can you bet him when you don't know what league he's going to be pitching in? And Noah Syndergaard, but the odds aren't good enough for Noah. He's plus 4,500, not for a guy who got hurt. So I ended up going off the board. I went with Rue McClanahan's grandson Shane, and then in the National League, the favorites are Scherzer, Burns, Bueller, and Woodruff. And the long shots that I thought were worth a flyer were Logan Webb, Carlos Rodon, and Marcus Stroman. I put Stroman because he's a Cub.
Yeah.
I said
What's Webb's odds?
he is plus 1400, so 14-1. I've said that if you could assure me that Rodon would be healthy for most of the year, I would pick him. So instead, I said I'd throw a few bucks on Webb instead. But I really like Bueller. I know he was terrible this spring. That doesn't mean anything. He's going to win it someday, and he wears those skinny pants, skinny enough that he would fit in on the marquee crew. So I think he's probably a good bet. And his team's going to win 100 games, and somebody's got to win them, and
He seems like the guy.
he'll probably win a bunch. All right, so I think that's a pretty thorough breakdown of what's coming up this season. And so now all this stuff that we predicted will happen. People don't even need to watch. Or you can watch and just kind of relax. You don't have to worry. You already know what's going to happen. It's like a movie that's been spoiled. Or maybe not. Probably not. Yeah, it's for Cub fans, it's the first year now since, like, I guess we really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into in 15. It ended up being a very fun season. It's the first year since 2014 where we just kind of like, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. It's
And
been an
it's probably not
amazing,
going
I
to be good.
mean, it's been an a it was an amazing run. I mean, I know we don't like some of the things that are going on now, but I was looking back at all the other successful consecutive seasons in Cubs history, and it's like this was the most impressive period since like the
The
30s.
30s. Yeah, since the Joe
And
McCarthy Cubs.
mean, that's
And
it's I mean, it's sad that it took this
a little
long,
bit of
but
Charlie
it's
Grimm mixed in at the end there.
Yeah. But
Actually, one of the books I'm reading, because I read multiple books, I have one in the bathroom. The book I'm reading in the bathroom is a book you may have read, Lords of the Realm.
oh yeah.
So I'm reading that, and John Helliar is just throwing out, you know, right. I'm still relative, I'm the first 100 pages, and they're kind of setting things up, and you know, you're learning about the Dodgers' move out west, and about how they banned the mention of Branch Rickey in the front office because the owners, Walter O'Malley, hated him so much, and he just kind of casually throws out how the Cubs were another owner had convinced poor P.K. Wrigley, the hapless, just like the Ricketts, the hapless fail son of a competent person, that the minor leagues were patently unfair, and you really shouldn't put a lot of time or effort into developing a minor league system, which is by far the biggest thing that crippled the Cubs for 40 years.
What a terrible decision.
I mean, they basically, after World War II, when a bunch of 4F, you know, non-draftable players took the Cubs to the World Series, they basically punted the next 2 decades.
What
Just
did
didn't
they?
compete at all.
I don't get the rationale. It's like they didn't have free agency or like we do now. Where was everybody coming from, you know?
It was didn't they didn't see the need to invest in young players.
I mean, and that was a time when there was like 18 levels of the minor
Yeah, there
leagues.
was a
It was
time when
just
the Cardinals had just a ridiculous number of minor league affiliates, and then
right.
because of the reserve clause, they could trap those players, and those players could never leave their organization. There were good players who never got to the big leagues because they were stuck either in the Cardinal or Yankee organization, and there were good players out of them, and they could never get there.
That is so American. It's like the most unfair thing you can think of, and it's we're really good at that.
And there's even a thing about how the reserve clause was really a an unintentional technicality in early contracts.
Right.
It was
An
just
accident.
meant to keep some sense of stability on rosters because these teams were going bankrupt all over the place, and other and players were just hopping from team to team to team. And so they basically said, "Look, we'll sign you this deal, but you have to commit that you're going to spend like 3 years with us." And then at some point, that the reserve clause got interpreted as, "We own your rights forever." And it was like that until Curt Flood. It was that way for like 70 years. So,
Didn't they rule against Curt Flood?
yeah, that's right, because he wasn't the first free agent. The first free
That
agents
wasn't
were
until
like Catfish
Andy
Hunter and
Messersmith.
yeah, Andy Messersmith is the one. Right, Curt's the one who had to sit out a whole season fighting it.
Right. The not apply or whatever the term is. They're like, you know, we kind of sympathize with you, but no, we're not changing that.
But thankfully, the new CBA fixed every issue the baseball had ever had,
Look at
and
all the
now we don't
money
have
that
to.
everybody's
I mean,
spending on
yeah, the all these
salary
teams went
floor.
nuts, and everybody wanted to, you know, immediately start to contend again. And the prospects of losing 115 games and picking at the bottom, it's like, no, there's a lottery now. There's no way we can risk that.
There's
Give
a
us some free
lottery.
agents. Yeah, it fixed everything. So that was great. All right. Well, the next time we talk, they will have actually played games. That'll be fun.
Probably will
Could
be.
talk about actual results. It may be depressing for Cub fans, but still, it's better than talking about the Cacti League.
Yeah, which, as we know, is skews the statistics and doesn't really count for.
Yeah, if you can't hit, oh, I think the thing, you know, if you can't hit in Arizona, you can't hit.
It's got to creep into your mind, at least, yes.
Last year, Jock Peterson went nuts in Arizona.
Right.
Yeah, he used every one of his hits until October. But all right.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Dave. We will catch up again soon.
You're welcome and happy opening day.
Yeah, you too.
Many of us have herpes.